Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the Epiphany, the wise men coming to visit the baby Jesus. This event was predicted by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah predicted that Gentiles would come to worship the Messiah. As Isaiah 60 verse 6 says, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Of course, we find the fulfillment of that prophecy in our gospel lesson today, Matthew chapter 2. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Magi, also known as wise men from the east, come, having seen a star. These magi are probably astrologers, stargazers, most likely from Babylon or Persia or Arabia. They see a special star and believe this to be the fulfillment of ancient prophecies of Scripture. They believe this star marked the birth of the Messiah, the true King of the Jews. And they were right. They follow the star and find the Messiah, the Christ, and they bring him gifts. Three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these gifts are very precious treasures, very costly, but they're also significant spiritually speaking because they have a spiritual meaning behind them, because they tell us who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. So what I want to do today, this Epiphany, is focus on the three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift for the king. Frankincense is a gift for the Son of God. And myrrh, a gift for the Savior. Okay, so starting with gold, number one. Now, after Jesus was born in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." Since they knew the star signified the birth of the King of the Jews, they went to the logical place, a palace, specifically the palace of Herod the Great in Jerusalem. If you were looking for a king, I mean, wouldn't you go look for it in a palace? But instead of finding the Christ, they found a fake king, Herod. Herod was known as Herod the Great because of his earthly achievements. He was a brilliant engineer and builder. He built cities, stadiums, amphitheaters, and most importantly, rebuilt the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. By earthly measures, he was a great king, but he was an imposter. He's a false king, a fake king, and for many different reasons, but let me just focus on two of them. First, he was not Jewish. He is not a descendant of King David. He is an Edomite, ruling in Judea only because Roman power and authority has installed him there. Second of all, he is a psychopath. Herod is insane. In order to protect his throne, he murders most of his family, including a wife and some of his own sons. His murder of innocent children in Bethlehem after the wise men leave is just one example of what a psychopath Herod truly was. When it says that, so here's what the Bible says. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Matthew 2, verse 3. You know that what that means. It says, all of Jerusalem was disturbed. If Herod isn't happy, there's nobody who's going to be happy in Jerusalem. Everyone's disturbed. Everyone's fearful. Everyone's fearful of how Herod will react to any threat to his throne. He is no shepherd of Israel. He is an insane and murderous psychopath, a true tyrant in every sense of the word. But in contrast to Herod, we have the true king. Herod is the fake king. Jesus is the true king. Now, the wise men brought gold with them because gold is a gift for a king. In fact, Queen of Sheba brought gold to Solomon because she wanted to show what a great king he was. But the wise men don't give their gold to Herod. They recognize he is not the true king. No, the star would lead them to the true king, Jesus. Jesus is the true king because he is a descendant of David. Both Mary and Joseph were descendants of David, which is, of course, why they were in Bethlehem to begin with. It's the city of David. That is where they had to go to register. It's also the place where the prophet Micah, who also wrote 700 years before Jesus was born, says by his prophecy that Bethlehem will be the birthplace of the true king, the Christ, the Messiah. And unlike Herod, Jesus is not a murderous tyrant. He is a good king, the best king possible, who leads his people just as a good shepherd leads his sheep. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Jesus is that good shepherd, the perfect king, who leads his people to the green pastures and to springs, springs of living water that give everlasting life. "My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Jesus is the perfect king, the true king. And of course, the gift of gold points towards that. The second gift that the wise men give is frankincense. Frankincense points towards his deity. It is a gift for the Son of God. In the Old Testament, frankincense was used as part of a special mixture used at the altar of incense. Exodus 30, 34, 35. The Lord said to Moses, "Take sweet spices, stacto and onica and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be an equal part, and make an incense blended as by the perfumer. And the incense that you shall make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you, holy to the Lord." So it was a special mixture combining frankincense with other spices, and it was to be used only for the worship of the Lord, only for him alone, not for themselves. This incense represented the prayers of God's people ascending to the throne of heaven, like Psalm 141 says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." See, prayer is an act of worship, and worship is reserved for God alone. This special mixture was to be used for the worship of the Lord, which is why the wise men's gift of incense is so interesting. They give Jesus something that represents worship. They see him as someone who is much more than a king, someone who is much more than human. They see him as God in the flesh, not only by the gift, but more importantly, by their actions. So when they enter in the house, what do? They bow down and worship him. We know worship is reserved for God alone, and the Magi knew that too. Jesus is greater than a human, greater than an angel. Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh. Jesus with the Father and the Holy Spirit is worthy of our worship, worthy of our adoration, and worthy of our praise. We pray to the Father, we pray to the Holy Spirit, and we pray to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our loving and gracious God who listens to our prayers and helps us in our time of need. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," Jesus invites us. "I will give you rest." He is the incarnate Son of God who hears our prayers and is worthy of worship. The first gift is gold, which is fit for a king. Second gift is incense, which is fit for a deity, the Son of God. The third gift is myrrh, which is fit for a savior, especially a savior like Jesus. Myrrh is used for embalming. It points to the fact that Jesus will die. Myrrh is used in embalming a body, and that's how it was used on Jesus. After Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took charge of his body. Joseph offered a gift to his Lord. He gave him the use of his own tomb. And so Jesus, to fulfill prophecy, was buried in a rich man's tomb. Now Nicodemus also gave Jesus a gift. He gave the same gift that the wise men had given him 33 years earlier. Nicodemus gave Jesus the gift of myrrh, which is used to embalm his body. John 19 tells us, verses 39 and 40, Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Myrrh points to the humanity and the mortality of Jesus. It points to his death, and it reminds us that Jesus came here to die. Jesus died on a cross on Good Friday so that he might save us from sin. He died for sins, as Peter tells us. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Jesus didn't come here ultimately to be worshipped. He came here to die and offer his life as the perfect sacrifice for sins. He died, he was embalmed, and he was laid in a borrowed tomb. But that is not the end of the story. Christ died and was buried, and 3 days later, rose victoriously from the dead, destroying the power of death and the grave forever. You see, his triumph is our triumph. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. And neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, these gifts are important. Gold reminds us that Jesus Christ is our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Frankincense reminds us that Christ is the Son of God, who hears our prayers and is worthy of our worship. And myrrh reminds us why Jesus Christ came, to save us from sin by dying on a cross, being embalmed and laid in a tomb, and then rising victoriously from the grave. His victory is our victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.